For our scripture reading tonight, will you turn with me to the Epistle of the Colossians, and we'll read in that chapter, chapter 3. Colossians, chapter 3. And we'll read beginning at verse 1. Colossians 3, verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection or mind on things above, not on things on the earth, for ye are dead, or for ye have died, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ with our life shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Almost 2,000 years ago, a very wonderful thing happened in this world. 40 days after the Lord Jesus arose from the dead, the scripture says he showed himself alive by his passion. After his passion, by many infallible proofs. And then the Lord Jesus told his disciples to wait in Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And 10 days later, on the day of Pentecost, sent by the Son of God into this world, the Spirit of God came and form those believers into one body. And every believer now is indwelt by the Spirit of God. When the Lord Jesus was here on earth, he was, and I'm saying this, very limited. He never went out of an area as large as the state of Florida in all the time that he was here on earth. But now, through the Spirit of God, the Lord Jesus is everywhere. The scripture says, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. The Lord Jesus said, you remember Matthew chapter 16, after Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, he said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. On the day of Pentecost, the Lord Jesus took those disparate believers and formed them into a living unit, united with him in heaven. The scripture says, by one Spirit have we all been baptized into one body. John had said, I baptize you with water, but there cometh one after me who shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. The baptism of the Holy Ghost took place on the day of Pentecost, and it will never be repeated. It says, he shall baptize you with fire. And everybody in this world will either know the Savior as the Savior, or as the judge. The scripture says the day is coming when the Lord Jesus, the one who once came into this world, not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved, the Lord Jesus, the scripture says, shall be revealed from heaven in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not our Lord Jesus Christ. When I was thinking about this passage of God's Word, I was thinking of the three things that are possible for men to possess: wisdom, and power, and riches. What you know, what you can do, and what you can have. Does it make any difference what, where you are on the totem pole, whether you're high or low? You have a measure of wisdom. There are certain things that you know. There are certain things that you can do. And there are certain things that you can possess, that you can have. The scripture says, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. Don't boast in what you know. Don't boast in what you can do. Don't boast in what you can have. Because all of those things are temporary. When our Lord Jesus Christ was crucified, he was crucified at the place called Calvary. And the Bible says, written over him was his accusation. It was written in three languages. It was written in Greek. It was written in Latin. And it was written in Hebrew. Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. As far as man is concerned, wisdom ends with death. The Bible says when a man dies, his thoughts perish with him. He's at the end of his thought life when he dies. He is brain dead. He's not doing any thinking anymore. He's at the end of his doing. What can a dead man do? Absolutely nothing. What difference does it make what a rich man possesses? Because he takes absolutely nothing with it. Everything of man's wisdom, every man thing of man's doing, and everything of man's possessions ends with his death. Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. What good is the wisdom if by that wisdom that you possess you cannot know God? And man cannot. The Bible says, can a man by searching find out God? And the answer is no. The Bible says the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. What can man do that is important as far as God is concerned? It says, the weakness of God is stronger than men. The scripture says, the Greeks seek after wisdom. You know, many a man that gives his life to education, worldly education. But you can go to the finest universities on earth and you won't get to know God by human wisdom. God is pleased to reveal himself in this book, and apart from divine revelation, no one can know God at all. You remember the prayer of the Lord Jesus in Matthew chapter 11? He says, I thank thee, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and has revealed him unto babes, even so, Father, it seemed good in thy sight. It was written in Latin. And Latin is the language of power. At the time our Lord Jesus Christ was here on earth, Rome, the very name means strength. They marched all over the known world. It was all under its conquest. They were the powerful nation of that day, but God has said, it's not by might. It is not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. All earth conquerors wield power for a little while, and only a very little while. The first president I remember in the United States was a man named Franklin D. Roosevelt. I heard about Hoover, but that's the first one I really became conscious of. He was still president when I went into service in 1942. Roosevelt came into power in the United States in 1933. in 1945, he was in his grave. At the same time that Roosevelt came into power in the United States, there was a man named Adolf Hitler, and he came into power in Germany in 1945. He died in a bunker in Germany. God says, I'll give each of you 12 years. That's all you've got in power. That's it. And while Hitler spoke of the thousand-year reign of the German Reich, as he put it, God says you're going to have 12 years. Power. One of the problems with power is that it corrupts men. It was Lord Acton who said, power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. Men have tried everything to satisfy the cravings of the human soul. Solomon tried it all. He had the ability, he would have been a multi-billionaire, even by today's standards, if we were still living today, just on the basis of the gold that he possessed. He tried everything to satisfy the craving of his heart. He had riches. He tried wealth. He tried wine. He tried work. He tried women. He tried everything to satisfy the craving of his heart. But nothing satisfied. And Solomon said as he summed it all up, is vanity of vanities. All is vanity. There is nothing new under the sun. And that's the trouble with all wisdom, human wisdom, with all human power, and with all riches, because it's all under the sun. And God says the true riches are all found above the sun. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. The only place where the true wealth is in heaven. I remember years ago, a brother telling me that Lord Beaverbrook, who was a wealthy man in Britain, he came to the Bahamas and had a home built at gunpoint, just across from Spanish Wells. And he was telling the contractor for the job, he says, you know, I have a home in England. I have a home in Scotland. I have a home in Italy. I have a home in Switzerland. And this brother says, do you have a home up there? It really doesn't make any difference how many homes you've got down here. If you don't have a home up there, you're poor. Indeed. Happy there are they who trust in Jesus. Sweet their portion is ensure. When the foe on others sees it, he will keep his own secure. Happy people, happy though despised and poor. You remember what the Lord Jesus said when he was here on earth? He said, lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust are corrupt and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust are corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. Three thieves. Moth, rust, and all that the Greek words is the word eater. And I believe it has to do with not rust, but mice. And the third thief, men, two-legged thieves. You see, because in the Lord's day, there were three main emblems of wealth. Gold, money, grain, something to eat, and garment, something to wear. Well, you know what moths do? They get into the clothes closet. I've never seen a moth yet. There may be some around like that. I've never seen a moth yet that attack anybody as they were walking along. You know, you put on your coat and then Paul says, boy, I'm going to get you, and start eating the suit or the clothes right off your back. I've never seen a moth that does that. You know what it does? The only thing that they eat is things that are not being used. The things that are hanging in the closets. I've got, say, 10 suits I've never worn. Those are the ones they work on. The ones that you don't wear. And you know what mice work on? I sit down and practically every morning of my life I have breakfast cereal. You know, just cold breakfast cereal. And I've not seen once in my life a mouse ever up on the table and start eating out of the same bowl that I'm working on. You know what he does? If they get into the place at all, they go out in the pantry and they find some corn flakes and they start eating out of the bottom and they start working on that. They eat the things that are not being used. You know, the only thing that is of value, the thing is that being put to use. And the things that we store up and store up and store up, they're of no value, really. Now, I know that people will actually, if you've got a Rolex watch on, they'll probably see two legacies, they'll try to steal it from you. But ordinarily, what thieves do, they don't come to your house and say, Mr. Bender, I would like to come in and rob you this evening, if you don't mind. They don't do that. They come in when they see my car isn't there, and nobody else is around, the neighbors aren't looking, then they break in and steal. That's what they do, ordinarily. And they steal the things that I'm not using. They're stealing the things that are sitting home that are just sitting there. Those are the things that they steal. And there's a lesson in that for us, that if we want to lay up treasures in heaven, we better put to work the things that we have. Don't leave them sitting around. You're not going to be rewarded for how much cash you got in the bank. You're going to be rewarded for the cash that you've used. And so with everything that God has put into our hands. You know, the wonderful thing is that while we're here on earth, we can invest in heaven. You know, God has three things for us. He's got wisdom, he's got power, and he's got love. That's his riches. He doesn't count riches. You mean, gold, and he doesn't count that as being rich. That isn't what God is interested in. Not how much money. God counts his riches in this way. It says he's rich in mercy. It speaks about the riches of his grace. So, you know, I quoted that verse from Jeremiah, and this is what it says. Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. In his wisdom. Let not the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him glory in this. Number one, that he knoweth and understandeth me, that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness. Oh, Lord, that's what you have, our loving kindness. That's right. That's all you got to say, because of his loving kindness. In loving kindness. Jesus came, my soul in mercy to reclaim, and from the depths of sin and shame, through grace he lifted me. From sinking sand he lifted me, with tender hand he lifted me. Shades of night to plains of light, oh praise his name. He lifted me. That's the first thing it's mentioned. Then it speaks about righteousness. You know, the world has a saying, and it often works this way, in the court of the country and so forth. The world has a saying that might makes right. God says no. God says right makes might. Right makes might. And so you read of his riches. Let him not glory. Let him glory in me that I am the Lord who takes his due. Right, loving kindness, righteousness, and judgment of the earth. You know, it's a good thing to know that the one who rules this world rules this world in infinite wisdom. All of his judgments are in accordance with his wisdom. God is not only wise, but he always does the wise thing. Sometimes we know what would be the wise thing to do, but we don't do it. But that's not so with God. And so we're told to seek the wisdom that comes from above. Where is that wisdom to be found? I'll tell you exactly where it's to be found. It's to be found in Christ. He is called in Scripture the wisdom of God. It says concerning the Lord Jesus, in him are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Everything that's worth knowing is found in him. And Paul, writing to Corinthians, says Christ is made unto us. You mean I should tap onto it? That's right. Christ is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, redemption. You know, one of the reasons why God sent his Spirit into the world was this, in order that you might be wise. And all of us are either wise or otherwise, but the Spirit of God was sent into this world so that we could be wise. The Lord Jesus said, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. And what a wonderful thing it is to have the Spirit of God as our instructor and to make Christ real to us, the one who is the wisdom of God. You know, it's a real cause for celebration this day. This is the day that the Lord has made. Almost 2,000 years ago, the Son of God, in accordance with his promise, said, I'm going to send you another comforter, and he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. And oh, how wonderful it is, fellow believer, to have the Spirit of God as our instructor. Apart from him, you can understand anything, because the Bible says the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them. It's an impossibility, for they are spiritually discerned. You know, men can have all kinds of degrees behind their name, but if they don't know Christ, they remain in ignorance. What a wonderful thing it is that the Spirit of God, fellow believer, has taken up his residence in your life and thus given you the capacity to know him. Whom to know is life eternal. And we're told to seek the wisdom that is from above. You know, the wisdom that is from above is the wisdom that comes from Christ, because he is the wisdom. He's the one who hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. You know, the wonderful thing about the wisdom of God is this. We're told in James that the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable. God's wisdom never sets aside his holiness. It's first pure. And we can be sure that if it's not pure, it does not come from God. If it's not right, if it's not true, it hasn't come from God. Paul, writing to Timothy, says this, God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. He's given us a sound mind so we can think right. And Paul could say, we have the mind of Christ. Isn't that wonderful? We have the ability, indwelled by the Spirit of God, to understand the things of the Spirit of God. We're to seek the wisdom that is from above. The wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, it says, it's gentle. Gentle. And you know, when we run roughshod over people, we can be sure of this, that wisdom did not come from God. The wisdom that's from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle. Remember what David said in the Psalms concerning God's dealings with him? He said, thy gentleness. You know, the Lord is a true gentleness.
thy gentleness hath made me great. It was your tender, loving care of me, Lord, that made me the man that I am. It's wonderful to know that God deals with his children gently. It's true that the Lord loves, he chastens, but he's so gentle with his own. Just as we try to deal with our children in a gentle, considerate way, how much truer it is of him. The wisdom from above is first pure, gentle. It's easy to be entreated. God is so ready to hear the faintest cry from his children. Easy to be entreated, full of mercy. And I'm so glad that God in his wisdom has found a way that he can be forgiving of us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's the wisdom from above, from him. And it speaks of the power that's from above. They were told not to do things in their own strength. Why those disciples were so afraid. They were locked in the room for fear of the Jews. And then the Lord Jesus said, don't try and go and do things in your own strength. You'll never make it. Peter, you fell flat on your face even in a 24-hour period when you said, though all men deny thee, will not. I don't try and do it in your own strength. Wait till you be endued with power from on high. And oh, what a difference when the Spirit of God came on the day of Pentecost. Those cowards were transformed into courageous men. It says, as Peter and John stood before the Sanhedrin, they marveled at the boldness of Peter and John. What a difference. Those men have been so cowardly before. And praise God, we can have the power that comes from above. Paul, writing to the Ephesians, says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, not what you can do. It's not what I can do. It's what he can do through us. And the scripture speaks of the exceeding greatness of his power to us through belief, according to the working of his mighty power. It says he is able to do exceeding abundantly of all that can ask or think, according to the power that works in us. No, that's not good. Know that God, the Holy Spirit, has taken up residence in your life. You can't live the Christian life. I can't live the Christian life, but praise God, the Lord Jesus, by his Spirit, has taken up residence in your life and mine. In order to enable us to do what he desires for us to do. Once far from God and dead in sin. No light my heart could see. But in God's word, the light I found now, Christ liveth in me. Oh, what a salvation this, that Christ liveth in me. My wisdom must come from above. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Just the other day, I was lying in bed and reading the Bible, or at night I should say, and sometime before I was putting up my glasses down somewhere, and you know, I couldn't find the thing. I need my glasses to find my glasses. I'm nearsighted. I turned the bed upside down and every place else up in the apartment there. And finally, I found them. You know where I found them? Right where I put them. If I'd have known where I put them, or could remember it, I'd have gone there right away. I wouldn't have wasted all that time. And what's the sense of wasting my time as a Christian looking for wisdom and power and love where I can't find it? Because if he risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. That's where the wisdom is found. That's where the power is found. And that's where the love is found. You remember it says the fruit of the Spirit is. The one that the Lord Jesus sent from heaven. It says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. And it's a wonderful thing to realize that through the power of the Spirit of God, through His operation in your life, you can love. It's amazing. You know, we read these things, and it's absolutely, utterly amazing. You can love just as the Lord Jesus loves, because He's loving through you in the power of His Spirit. Listen to what it says in Romans 5. The love of God, not my love for Him, but His love through me, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. God, the Holy Spirit, is radiating His love through my life and your life. That's an absolute love. You hear it oftentimes, but we don't think about it. Do you remember what the Lord Jesus said in John 17 when He was praying to the Father? He prayed that the love wherewith Thou hast loved me. How much did the Father love the Son? The Lord Jesus said it repeatedly, the Father Himself loveth me. And He said He loves you too. And He said He wants the world to know that the Father loves you just as He loves me. That's what He said. I want the world to know that Thou hast loved them. This is what He said. As Thou hast loved me. And that's an absolute marvel. To think that the love of which God loved His Son, such as His love to me. But even beyond that, in a way, if I can put it that way, that you and me, as believers, we can love as He loved. He says, that the love wherewith Thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Think of it. And all of these things are available to us because the Lord Jesus sent the Spirit of God into the world. He said, it is expedient that I go away. If I go not away, then the Spirit will not come. We sing sometimes in one of our hymns, that lovely hymn of Charles Wesley, love divine, all praise excelling. Joy of heaven to earth come down. Bless us with Thy rich indwelling. All Thy faithful mercies crown. First fruits of Thy new creation, faithful, holy, may we be. Joyful in Thy full salvation, more and more conformed to Thee. Changed from glory to glory, till in heaven we take our place there to worship and adore Thee. Lost in wonder, love, and praise. There's no sense for looking without wisdom down here. The Lord says, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. You're wasting your time here. Oh, I'm not saying you can go to school and learn things, but if you want the wisdom, that's really true wisdom. You have to get it from God. Through His Spirit. He's the only one that has true power. He's the only one that has true riches. And it's all available to Him. In Him are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So He's the source of all wisdom. He's the source of all power. And He's the source of all riches. And when God counts His riches, He doesn't count it in dollars and cents. Oh, I know He says in the 50th Psalm, the cattle on a thousand hills are all mine. He says that. When God speaks of His riches, He speaks about the exceeding riches of His grace. He speaks of the riches of His mercy. God is rich in mercy for His great love. For He loved us even when we're dead. In trespasses and sins, He's made us alive together with Christ. The wisdom that is from above. The power that is from above. The riches that are from above. God would have us to seek those things. If, for since, it's not an if of doubt, it's an if of condition. For since you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. You know, we live in a very materialistic world, and we're so occupied with the things we have down here, and we all know that sooner or later we're going to have to turn them loose. and the things that are real and abiding in us were all found up there. All man's works, all he's done, is all going to come to no end. No good end. The earth and all the works that are in are all going to be burned up. It's only the things that we have up there are really going to be of value. We have at home a picture of our son David. Each of the children got one of these pictures. Jenny arranged for it, and we received these at Christmas time. David passed away September the 9th, 1990. At Christmas time, seated around the tree, we reached out of the package. We opened it. We each got the same thing. There's a picture in the center of our son. A picture that was taken the day he got married. On each side, a verse of scripture. And one of the verses said this: "This light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory while we look." That's the key word. It works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory while we look, not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, everything that we see. All man's wisdom and power and riches have ever accomplished, it's all transitory, it's all going to waste. And the only thing that's of value are the things up there. Why we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And the other text was this text: "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." It's the only investment that is going to pay eternal dividends. Everything in this world is going up in smoke someday. For whatever we've treasured, we've laid up in heaven, it'll be there when we get there. We need all of us in the midst of a world of change, in a world of uncertainty, in a world where we're just deluged with the material things of life. We need to lift up our eyes. If you then see this with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. For you have died. Your life is up there, it's not here. Your life is here in Christ. So, shall we pray? Our Father, we pray that thou wouldst enable us to heed the words of the psalmist, to lift up our eyes unto the hills from whence cometh our help. Help cometh from the Lord who made heaven and earth. We're thankful that it's the treasure that we found in his love that has made us pilgrims below. We sing, "Thou in heaven hath a treasure, none but he is Christ may know." Deep above, unfathomable pleasure, Christ revealed his saints below. Oh, to be but emptier, lowlier, mean unnoticed and unknown, and to God a vessel holier, filled with Christ and Christ alone, not of earth to cloud the glory, not of self the light to dim, telling forth his wondrous story, emptied, refilled with him. Oh, how we thank thee, blessed Lord, that over 1900 years ago, having completed the work of the cross, those go back to heaven,
And thou didst send thy spirit to indwell each of us who are thine, and to empower us to live a life that we cannot live in our own strength. But we're thankful that we have available to him the wisdom and wisdom above, the power that can only come from thee, that we can be strong in thee and in the power of thy might. And the riches that we have in thee. Truly we can thank thee, Lord, every day of our lives for thy loving kindness as we hear, heard read in our hearing tonight from the 103rd Psalm. We thank thee thou hast not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities, but as the heavens are above the earth, so great, oh, so great is thy mercy toward them that fear thee. Lord, help us to be a thankful, appreciative people, and to show by thy grace through thy spirit something of the beauty, thy beauty, Lord Jesus, in all our ways and words. We ask thee in thy own precious and worthy name.